Save big money on everything. Now at Menards. Make quick work of your outdoor cleaning project with Masterforce outdoor and landscaping tools. The 80-volt cordless trimmer is powerful, efficient, and hassle-free, so you spend less time working on your yard and more time enjoying the results. On sale now through May 19th. Check out our wide selection of Masterforce tools and see the rest of our deals on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
This is John Sadak, TV voice of the Cincinnati Reds, and you're up for Late Night Reds Talk.
Hello, everybody. My name is Tim Daniel, and welcome to Late Night Reds Talk, the live show and podcast that loves the Cincinnati Reds, part of the Believe Network, presented as always by Bet Online. This show is live streamed on YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook, and the podcast version is always up the next morning. If you're watching tonight on YouTube, please take 2 seconds to hit the like button, subscribe to our channel. It'll really help us continue to grow our show. Before we get started, let's have Nick tell you about our partner, BetOnline, who has the Bengals as a 2-point favorites on the road Sunday against the New Orleans Saints. And Andy Dalton.
Football is back, and BetOnline remains your number one source for all your football betting needs this season. You'll find the latest odds, matchup info, player news, and game trends. And as your continued source for all your sports wagering info, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, live scores, and giveaways all season long. It's always the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports and events like MLB, MMA, tennis, boxing, and even golf. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 100% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure you use the promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, to receive your rewards. That's B-L-E-A-V. BetOnline is where the game starts.
Yeah, I think betting on the Bengals this weekend where Zach Taylor's calling plays is probably not ideal. So we'll just go and talk about some fun baseball, right?
Yeah, the Reds, the positive team in Cincinnati. Let's go. Love it.
Yeah, I know, right? All right, so let's talk real quick. I really want to get into Wild Card Weekend. It was can we technically say this was the first of this since the COVID season was kind of similar?
Yeah, I don't think you can put any stock whatsoever in 2020. I mean, that was a totally different animal. So yeah, I would say this is the first real, and there was, I think, an extra team, wasn't there?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
And there was no buys either. So it's really totally.
Oh
different.
Yeah. Good point. Yeah. I would say this, man, I thought it was a win. I thought Friday was just awesome. Like all afternoon, just watching games. And you literally got everything you could really want out of this weekend, as far as you had all the pitching drama between the Cleveland series. That was awesome. I mean, I know people were like, oh my God, a 14 inning game. That moment is just awesome. It's going to be a moment in Guardians history forever. Hitting the walk off there to end Tampa's season. Seattle has the excellent comeback in game two. That was really cool. You know, it was a really, really, really good game by Toronto. And so that was a lot of fun. And then the other, San Diego and the Mets go 3. And of course, the Phillies beating the Cardinals with a nice Bryce Harper home run in game 2. That always makes things pretty good as well. So I thought it was a great, great weekend. What'd you think of it?
Yeah, it felt like normal baseball. It felt like postseason baseball. It had all of the energy. It's kind of fun not having travel days, just because you got to see, you know, 2 straight days of full baseball. I thought the series were all pretty good. I picked the Phillies, but I was shocked how easily they just
took care of business. Man.
They had a big comeback in game one, but then in game two, I mean, they dominated. It was no contest. I was surprised how easily the Mariners got through. I thought that was going to be a tight series out of all the series. I would have thought that was the one that was for sure going to go to three games. And sure enough, the Mariners were able to do it in two. But yeah, I mean, overall, it was a fun weekend. And we get to jump right back in. It's really wild as you look ahead. There's less off days, even in the league championship series. I believe in both series, there's no off days between a game five and a game six. They've removed that travel day. I guess, and I don't know if it's just because of this year, because of, you know, trying to get these extra teams in at the last minute with the lockout and pushing the season back a week. But it's going to feel a little different. And I think some of it could be a little cooler because you get to see just teams exhausted at the end. There's no off days, you know, there's not as many off days, not as many chances to reset your bullpen. So it might be more, you know, true baseball, And that's it. But my last thing on this would be all these teams felt like they belong. You know, there was, you know, I think that was the big thing was like, oh my gosh, there's going to be a team with 83 wins that has all these teams belonged in the postseason. A lot of fan bases like Philadelphia and Seattle and even the Mets that haven't had a team in the postseason in a long time, you know, getting to taste the postseason, and they were all deserving teams. So, good for that. And we'll see kind of how this plays out in the next round. That's going to be really interesting.
Yeah. So you went to game one in Cleveland. What was the experience like? Well, you know, we haven't had a chance to have a postseason home game since 2012. So what was that like to be there?
Well, it was a 12:07 game. So that kind of was a little bit different just in how early it was. There was kind of a late arriving crowd for my first pitch. It was pretty full, but like, you know, usually when you're in a playoff game, like an hour before first pitch, you know, you kind of have the place a lot more packed. So you didn't have that, but yeah, I mean, the crowd was great. It was a thrilling game when Jose Ramirez hit that two-run home run. I didn't think it had a chance of getting out, and then it went out. I was like, "Oh my gosh!" That gave the lead. That was a really fun series, and I got tickets for Game Three Saturday night, Guardians Yankees. So yeah, looking forward to that.
I know since you were there, it's kind of the series we're talking about the most. But that play he made Saturday in extras to get to throw it first. Oh my God.
And Josh Naylor made a great play, too.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
He deserves a lot of credit. Not really known as a great defensive first baseman. But, you know, how many times do you see a guy make a great effort like that and the first baseman, you know, doesn't scoop it and it goes in the dirt. Instead of a great play, it ends up being a really costly play the other way. So, yeah, that was it was a really fun two game series, which is still kind of weird, you know, to digest. There was two games and that was it, but it was really fun and yeah.
So you and I got two of the four series right. Carlos got three of the four because he picked his beloved Padres. I just thought the Mets would be too much, man, but I must have just totally ignored the last month when I made that pick when how awful they were. But you know, Carlos staying true to his team that gave him a shot, so I gotta respect it. Obviously not here with us tonight, but yeah, Carlos got the edge.
We should have saw the Trent Grisham resurgence.
Right. Yeah.
That's the best thing about the playoffs is, I mean, you just have these dudes that out of nowhere, you know. Going back to Cleveland, I remember in 2016, I went to a bunch of those games too up here. And Roberto Perez, who was like the backup catcher. And I think Yan Gomes got hurt, hit like four home runs in the postseason. Like, was like had like a 400 OPS or something.
Yeah.
That's the best part of baseball. You really never know what's going to happen in these series. Yeah, you can pick and you can have the smartest picks and all that. Sometimes you look like A-Rod and just whiff on all four of them.
That and like, remember when Cody Ross won the NLCS MVP and then Edgar Renteria won the World Series MVP and you're like, what is going on? Yeah, it's just, I totally agree. It makes it a lot of fun. But yeah, A-Rod and Ben Verlander, former guest of the pod. Woof, guys. Woof. So we may not have had the best weekend going 500, but we did better than these two.
Yeah. Poor Ben. Rumor is he went 0-4 in the first round last year of the postseason also. So
Ben Verlander is baseball's Joe Lenardi, is what you're saying.
I believe so. That's a right. good way of putting it.
Yeah. Yeah. Does anyone even understand that joke besides you and me? I don't know. But
I'm sure we got some college basketball faithfuls out there.
Yeah. So let's kind of look real quick to the division series. We got the first Cleveland and the Yankees. Obviously, the end of the Aroldis Chapman era in New York as it looks. So won't see him in this series. Oh, my God. That's a story for another time. We'll get to that later. Like you said, you'll be there Saturday for game three. Our good friend of the show, R.M. Layton, went as far to say he's taking the Guardians in seven. And I might be leaning that way just because I think what we're seeing in this postseason, besides the Seattle game, is like how much pitching matters so much in the playoffs. And what you saw from Tristan McKenzie and Shane Bieber in those two games, and then what their bullpens were able to do, Emmanuel Clase, guys like that, pretty impressive. So that's, I honestly don't think they can match bats with them, but I do think they're capable of keeping them off the scoreboard.
And to clarify, this is a 5-game series. I think Aura meant to say in five. This is a true series of pitching versus hitting. Could not be two different teams. I have no idea how this series is going to play out. I could see Cleveland just come out and just dominate with their pitching, and it really be a lot of close games. I think the Yankees, they don't have the pitching depth, but this is a 5-game series. You don't need as much depth unless they get into like a 15-inning game like Cleveland just got into. So I think that's going to benefit the Yankees. But Cleveland's got a good team, and I think it's going to – I would be shocked if the Yankees – put this away in three games.
Me too.
I think I'd be pretty surprised if they put it away in four games. I think this is good. I think this will be a 5-game series, and I think it's going to be a game five, and it's going to be, whoever's just on it that night. So, yeah, I think I would stick with my pick of the Yankees as much as it pains me. Especially, I'm obviously rooting for the Guardians living here, and I definitely want the Guardians to advance because I love to keep going to playoff games because that's pretty fun. But I think I probably stick with the Yankees, but in five. But I think it's gonna be a good series. I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun. I just can't wait till game five when it's like Shane Bieber versus Gerrit Cole. So it'll be like 10-9 because it's always how the playoff works in the last game. So that'll be fun. Let's look at Seattle and Houston. I shouldn't say this because I didn't know how well Seattle will play against Toronto, and they beat them in two. But, this is a whole different animal, as we know, with the Astros. They're just so good, and they're deep, and they're good at every position. And, bringing in Trey Mancini at the trade deadline was huge for them, especially in that ballpark. I suspect this is going to be a series that probably goes, Luis Castillo is obviously going to get a start in this. He was incredible game one. And so, I could see the Seattle getting a game. I don't know if this is going to go five. So I think I might say Houston in four on this one. And it pains me to say that because I really love the Seattle team.
Yeah, I mean, my gut definitely says Houston in three or four. I mean, they dominated them all season, but it's the postseason. Anything can happen. And Seattle, who looked like they were kind of coming to the postseason with a lineup that was really struggling, just put up 10 runs against the Blue Jays in a winner-take-all game when the Blue Jays were throwing all of their best arms out there. So,
To come back and win.
Yeah. So, anything can happen, but man, you got Tucker and Alvarez and Bregman and Altuve and Mancini. Like, that lineup is just ridiculous, And you see the graphic, MLB did a really good job. If you're watching, putting this up, they only had three spots that they say Seattle's better, in the field. And, yeah, this will be tough, but hey, it's gonna be fun. I could see this being one of those series that's like a really fun 4-game series, or maybe even a really fun sweep, like where it's fun, but it doesn't last very long.
Yeah, you're right. It could be. It's like, do you remember that year the Pelicans played the Warriors in the first round? Anthony Davis was like lights out and incredible, but they still got swept.
Yeah.
This is that kind of is what this feels like.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of times, LeBron, play a first round series, a team will play four competitive games and it really good, but it's still be a sweep. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of Raptors series like that for sure. Yeah. Phillies and Atlanta, another division rivalry series. I think this might be the series, honestly, I'm least excited about. It's not that I dislike either of these teams by any means. I did pick Atlanta, so I'm thinking we're going to stick with that. This locked up another young guy. I think that's a really, really, really good idea for what they do. But, you know, would it shock me if Philly just out-hit them and won the series in like four or five because of their bats? Even though, like you said last week, they're terribly, terribly put together, but still somehow managed to be successful. No. But, you know, I feel like the Braves are the gut pick for me. Just to feel like it makes most sense. I feel like they are the better team. But like you said, this is the playoffs and the Phillies and the way that they sometimes those bats turn on. But if you're the Braves, I'm not even focusing on putting the ball over the fence at this point. I'm just hitting balls in the gaps because, you know, defensively, they can't field them.
Yeah, this is I'm kind of surprised that MLB put the Braves as the better rotation. I don't know about that, especially with the way that Wheeler and Nola just pitched.
Yeah, they were awesome.
And I know they're not going to pitch in game one, but you're going to have them in two and three and probably one in game five if it goes that far. I don't know. This is a series. I picked the Phillies as kind of my surprise. You know, you have to pick something a little different. Curious to see if maybe the Braves having to sit for a week and the Phillies just coming off a really impressive, you know, two game series win in St. Louis, and they're, you know, hot, and Atlanta's got to come in and face really good starting pitching if that could be an issue for them. So I'll stick with my Phillies. I think this is way more evenly matched than a lot of people probably think. I think this series will go five, though. I definitely see that for sure.
Yeah, I did too. And then we have another division matchup. We got the Padres at the Dodgers. And, man, I maybe picking against the Padres. I don't want Carlos to not be my friend anymore. I would really bum me out. But I just have a hard time picking against the Dodgers here. You know, we can kind of go away from it's the playoffs. Anything can happen, obviously. But I just don't know how they can pull this one off. You know, it's going to take your best game and your 1-9 every night to be given competitive at bats. And I just don't know how many games they can necessarily do that. I hope they win. I'm tired of the Dodgers, like most people are who aren't LA Dodger fans, but I just don't know if they have the bats that can just give them great at bats as much as possible to win this series.
Yeah, just that Dodgers lineup is so deep. You look at Gavin Lux is batting like seventh or eighth in their lineup. Like he would be like batting at the top of the Padres lineup. So Padres have been pitched really, really well in that series. But it's hard to see how they match up with the Dodgers. But hey, I didn't think they matched up well with the Mets at all, and they showed us with that. So
right.
Hey, as always, you'll see, but yeah, it's hard. I would say the Dodgers in three or four.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Yeah, so I think it's going to be fun. A really fun fun week here before we get to the LCS. It's moved really well. And like I said, I thought the wildcard weekend was a blast. And I'm excited this is going to be the dynamic for future. Let's kind of talk some red stuff now, though. Obviously, when you know you lose 100 games, a lot of things have to change. And so the Reds parted ways with five different coaches. Alan Zinter, Delino DeShields, Christian Perez, Lee Tunnell, and Rolando Velez. And obviously, you hear Nick Gross say they felt like there were the right changes for new voices in different places. And we've struggled in certain areas this year. We still need to make improvements. Might be an understatement there, Nick. And we thought that this was the right choices to make. So I know a lot of people were like, wait a minute. So Delino DeShields gets let go, but the third base coach still has his job. And I kind of laughed at that. I'm not going to lie. I don't ever want anyone to lose their job, but yeah, I thought that was kind of, you know, it's like Jamie told us last week, you lose 100 games, you got to wear it at some point. And so this is kind of the start of kind of trying to dig out of that hole. You know, we're pretty open that we don't necessarily feel they'll be super competitive next year. But maybe this is the start to kind of right the ship. I don't know. I know everyone's like looking at me saying right the ship, and they're totally disagreeing with me, but I'm trying here, guys.
Yeah, in J.R. House's defense, I don't think he's a very good third base coach, but he does do a lot of work with the catchers. And I've heard a lot of praise on his work with the catchers. And so I he does more than just coach third base. So, I mean, look, none of these guys is any way, shape, or form their fault. The fate of the Red season, like trying to pin it on them is what would be ridiculous. I don't think the Reds made these moves to make the fans feel better, because I don't think the Reds are that dumb thinking that firing these guys is going to fire up the fan base, because that's not – you still have to evaluate each and every one of these guys and if they're the right fit going forward. From the outside, it's really impossible to know how good these guys are at their job. We have no idea how good they are, and even speculating is kind of – silly. The only one maybe would be like a guy like Alan Zenter. I wonder if the lack of progress we've seen from guys like Nick Senzel and Jose Barrero, you know, has something to do with it. And like Nick Kroll saying the new voice, maybe it's like, hey, we need someone to try to fix these guys if there is any fixing to those guys. And it may not be Alan Zenter's fault. Just maybe those guys don't have what it takes to be a legit major league hitter, but hey, it's a lot easier to change hitting coaches than replace Nick Senzel and Jose Barrero with a similar, you know, talent. So again, it is what it is. You have to hope that their evaluation of each of these guys is correct. And again, I have no really idea if it is or isn't.
Yeah, who knows, right? But if this is what they feel these new voices are going to help, I'm all for whatever's going to help this team win. So if that's what's going to be, then awesome. I know that, you know, Bobby and Charlie got a couple quotes in this conversation as well. So I thought they were kind of interesting. I know a lot of people were very, very upset. Like anytime Nick Kroll, I don't know who's less popular right now, Nick Kroll or Zach Taylor in the city, if you had to take a guess.
I would say Taylor. I would say Taylor is definitely more popular than other people associated with the Reds that I'm not going to bring up. I think most people, even the rational ones, even the ones who don't really like Nick Kroll, think he's kind of got his hands tied to an extent. Whereas I don't really follow the Bengals that close, but Zach Taylor kind of has like his say, right? Like it's kind of his thing,
yeah,
right? So he has a little bit more ability to control his environment than even, you know, the general manager of the Reds. But
yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's just really, you know, so since we're going into 2023 at a similar place than we are right now, but also says it's unacceptable to lose 100 games, which I know everyone's gonna twist and turn, and he says everyone's going to have to win a spot, which I like, you know, make some competition. You know, I'm kind of, not to reiterate what we talked about last week with Jamie, but he made the point, like a lot of these guys who played this year for this team were kind of fill-ins, and it very well could be the same situation next year. I know you and I have had talks off the air where it's like, you know, maybe they're a little better than we think they are. But it's so hard to say at this point, especially with the offseason ahead and all the decisions they got to make. But I know this is something where a lot of people had a lot of opinions on this conversation Nick Kroll had with the media.
Again, man, don't listen to anything any GM says, not just Nick Kroll. Bam, been saying that for 2 years. Yeah, just like
Brian Cashman has the highest payroll in baseball, just like maybe second now. And you're still like, don't listen to anything he has to say.
Yeah, I mean, they have stakeholders that they have to say certain things for. So when he says that, you know, our goal is to make the playoffs in the World Series, I get so annoyed, maybe that's not the right word, but people like freak out about that and say that, you know, well, just be honest with us. You can't in that job. You can't be honest. Like if he says, yeah, we're probably not making the playoffs next year.
Oh, you quit already.
That quote's going to be on billboards all over the city. Like, you know, I mean, So again, just throw any of those we're trying to win, we're not trying to win, any of that stuff out the window, because it's all just PR. As far as the actual substance of it, which is, it doesn't sound like the Reds are going to be very aggressive this offseason. It doesn't sound like the Reds are going to be taking on any big long-term contracts this offseason. That should not come as a surprise to anyone out there.
Right.
And look, the biggest criticism, and I think the most, the fairest criticism of the Reds ownership group over the last couple decades, is that they haven't stuck to a plan. And by going out and signing a whole bunch of free agents to long-term contracts when the core of your team is not ready next year, that would not be sticking to the plan. So, whether you like this route or not, they've put their feet in the sand here, and they have to stick to it. So I don't think there would be any reason to go out and sign a whole bunch of contracts that have the risk of becoming you can't have a Mike Moustakas contract when Elly De La Cruz and Noel V. Marte and Hunter Green and Nicola Dolo are all at their prime. Like, you can't have a bad contract. And so that's kind of what the Reds are at right now. I hope they're aggressive signing 1-year deals that makes this team more competitive, that makes this team more interesting.
Trent Grisham, let's do it.
I hope that they max out their budget of 1-year guys, but this whole, you know, going out and signing, you know, 3, 4, 5-year guys, I just don't think it's the time for them. You can hate me for it. I don't think it is. And I'm right with Carrick. Every decision needs to be made looking towards not 2014, 2024. That was the problem, is they look too much into 2014. And that's why I got the whole thing. So Carrick's probably thinking about that, but yeah, next season should be about evaluating players in the system. And we don't know where the Reds' holes are going to be. The Reds have a lot of really nice pieces. We don't know exactly which ones are going to hit and which ones aren't. So really, you don't know where you need to spend your excess dollars in your free agency until you get a little bit more of an idea about how the roster is going to pan out. I get the frustration on that. Look, I've been watching this team. I've been a fan of this team as long as everyone else. But the last thing you want to do is make stupid decisions that make this last a whole lot longer than it needs to be. And that's how you continue to rebuild and rebuild and rebuild and rebuild, is by making stupid decisions. So you got to be careful of that.
Yeah, I really like what Bryce is saying here. So the more shot to the big leagues, the better. And listen, Spencer Steer, Jose Barrero, Elly De La Cruz, Matt McClain. Yeah, I mean, I'm all for that being like the guys that play every day. Especially with the DH, you can move guys around. You can give Joey a day out of the bench. I mean, out of the field to play DH at times. Like, yeah, give me that. Give me something where it's gonna be fun to watch next year as we watch guys grow. Because I feel like in the last, you know, since the 13 team, there's just been a lot of like placeholders and a lot of like this guy and that guy and this guy's going up and this guy's going down, and we haven't had a situation where we have now, where we are reading Baseball America, we are reading Pipeline, we're reading Just Baseball, we're seeing everything that everyone's saying about these prospects. And of course it's like, oh, this is really cool. So like, that's going to like be fun. You know, if we go there next year, yeah, they're not going to win a lot of games probably. But if it's like, by the way, September call-ups, Elly De La Cruz is getting a spot, I'm going to be there, you know, like,
yeah.
I think the betting mods say this is likely September of 2023 will be Joey Votto's last month as a Red. I'm going to be there to see him go out. I hope it's with a bang because it's my favorite Reds player of my lifetime. So yeah, you know, I like it. I would just do it next year, figure it out. Green and Lodolo seems like you have something really promising there. If you can keep that trajectory going, let's do it.
Yeah. Hopefully they stagger. I think I said this last week. Hopefully they stagger their debuts, like have one come up in April, one in May, and just keep a train of excitement every couple of weeks. So if it does go south, and I don't think it's a sure thing. The Reds are just going to be, a team that's going to lose 90 games again next year.
Yeah,
they could if things don't go well. They have some injuries. They're probably not going to have a lot of depth, but they're also going to have a lot. They're also going to have Hunter Green, Nick Lodolo, and Graham Ashcraft anchoring the rotation from opening day. Hopefully, starting 2023 at a better spot than they started last year, because they already have that experience. So they should. Hopefully they should be able to hit the ground running And, you know, hopefully the second half of the season is what we see more of all of the season next year, because they've kind of already got that that first rookie taste out of the way, and they're hopefully ready to, you know, be more consistent, and they'll continue to get there as they continue to make more starts.
I totally agree. You know, I'm going to still have fun. You know, I'm not going to be able to get there much next year, as we know from all the conversations we've had. So when I am there, I'm going to have a great time.
Yeah.
So real quick, you know, we've kind of discussed that throughout the offseason, we're going to update everyone on what's going on with the Reds players in the fall league and where else they're playing. So give us a little bit of updates of what we've gotten from these two guys so far in this time.
Yeah, hopefully we can get some more televised games. That would be incredible. Hopefully as the playoffs wind down, we'll get to see a little bit more of these guys. But Rhys Hines has been the big story so far. Set a home run, 421 on base percentage so far in the Arizona Fall League. Really continuing on his strong finish in the minor leagues. We talked to Tom Nichols about that, how strong he finished the year. So Rhys Hines was a big time top prospect, kind of fell down after his injury, but is starting to maybe make some noise, and maybe Rhys Hines is starting to get close. Remember, he ended the year in Chattanooga last year. So Rhys Hines might not be as far away from the big leagues as we maybe thought a couple months ago. So hopefully you continue to finish strong. Matt McClain, kind of showing the same signs in Chattanooga, low batting average, but getting on base a ton, walking six times. And these are some better pitchers that he's facing in the Arizona Fall League than he's facing in Double A. These are some of the higher prospects, some of the guys that teams are wanting to get a look at. So him drawing six walks, that kind of shows me something. Be nice to see him continue to finish the Fall League well. And he's a guy that I think it's unlikely, but I don't think it's completely out of the equation that he's on the opening day roster next year, or not far behind it. Maybe a Graham Ashcraft type situation where he's maybe gets sent down to start the year, but he's called up pretty quick. Noelvi Marte struggled so far, but that does have a home run. You know, hopefully he can continue. Still a little bit farther away than those other two guys. Man, he's got all the talent in the world. Every home run you see is a sight to behold. And then really interesting prospect. Hope I say his name right. I watched a video to make sure I got it. I'm going to butcher it. I'm going to butcher it now. Sam Ben Scooter. I think it's Scooter. Ben Scooter.
I would not have thought that.
Yeah, that's why I try to listen. Has been really impressive. This is a guy who was a unranked Reds prospect. I already bugged Clay about him. I said, hey, we got to find out more information about this guy. Unranked prospect. He was a undrafted signing in 2021. He's had some really, really good numbers, and the Reds like him. He pitched in Michigan State. So he actually finished the year in Chattanooga for the Reds. So maybe this is a guy that's kind of gonna creep in and maybe be one of those, maybe the next kind of like Graham Ashcraft kind of sneaking up out of nowhere. I don't want to put too much pressure on him, but yeah. And then Christian Roa, the not so bright spot of the Arizona Fall League, gave up six runs in one inning. He does pitch again tomorrow though, so hopefully he can have a good start tomorrow and get back on track in the Fall League. He was the Reds' second round pick last year in 2020. Had a up and down minor league season. But yeah, that's your Arizona Fall League update for this Monday, October 10th.
Yeah, Bryce has a comment in the chat talking about, I guess, Ben Scooter has a 19.9 swinging strike percentage.
Yeah, he's got
pretty impressive.
Yeah, I think I saw he can touch the upper 90s with his fastball. Yeah, like Bryce saying, he's older. I mean, he pitched all the way through college. So, but hey, with his age, I would think the Reds are going to be more aggressive with him. You know, you're kind of like, well, what do you have to lose? You know, he's not a high prospect. So he's a guy, hey, you know, maybe you're a little more aggressive with. So if he keeps his pitch well, I wouldn't be shocked if he flies through the system. So,
yeah. I hope so. Let's look at it real quick. So Trade Rumors did a little arbitration prediction This is just projections. Let's go ahead and get that out of the way, just like we talked about last year. This is not set in stone. But kind of looking at some of the numbers, you have an idea of what could potential look like. Buck Farmer at 1.4, Luis Sessa at 2.6 million, I should say. Kyle Farmer at 5.9 million. Still a bargain, if you ask me. Jeff Hoffman at 1.2, Lucas Sims at 1.3, Nick Senzel at 2.2, Derek Law at 900,000, Aramis Garcia at 800,000, Justin Dunn at 1.1, Aristides Aquino at 1.6, and TJ Anton at 800,000. All right.
So this will be something we'll go through a little bit more in depth with each guy. So I don't want to spend too much time. I'll just kind of give you my quick thoughts through this. Really excited to find out that Buck Farmer is not a free agent. Apparently, he just missed out on enough service time, so the Reds are back. I think they absolutely have to pick up that $1.4 million. He was a
I did too.
Incredible reliever since he came back up like in July. I'm so excited. Please pick him up. Please have him come back. I think Sess is a no-brainer with his ability to start and kind of be that middle guy. That is a lot of money for Kyle Farmer, $5.9 million. That's why I was so shocked that he wasn't traded at the trade deadline. The fact that he wasn't traded at the trade deadline makes me think the Reds are picking up that option. Now, maybe the Reds try to trade him, but just the fact they didn't trade him, I have a hard time believing why they wouldn't pick him up. Jeff Poppin, 1.2. I think they'd probably pick it up. It depends really maybe how much of a long-term effect his injury towards the end of the year would be and how much they feel like that could be an issue next year. Lucas Sims, no brainer, pick him up with his talent. Nick Senzel, $2.2 million.
$2.2 million. Huh.
He started to get expensive. I'm gonna jump to Aquino because Aquino at 1.6. I mean, that sounds like there's no way you can do that. But Aquino outplayed Senzel. Like at some point you got to throw that out there. So I mean, I don't know, Senzel and Aquino. I don't know. I
waved my white flag on Nick Senzel. I've officially relinquished the president of the fan club.
I mean, I'll wave my white flag on Aquino too. I mean, just in the fact that I think it's hard to keep him at 1.6. But again, if the Reds decide to keep him, I'm not going to have a problem with that. I still think he's a good lottery ticket, so, and still has a lot of talent. But sorry, let's run through the rest of these. Derek Law, I don't see how you pick him up. I know he pitched pretty well at the end of the year, but that's, you know, he's above league minimum. I think you can replace him with league minimum.
90% of Reds fans quit watching games, but probably didn't know he was pitching on the team.
Yeah, they have no idea who he was. He actually did pitch pretty well, but
yeah, he did.
Aramis Garcia, I have no idea. It depends on if they think that's basically league minimum. Is he going to be on the roster or not? I think some of these guys like Law and Garcia, they may want to try to keep there's also the 40-man roster crunch that they're going to have at some point, which we have on like the next slide here in a second. So there's going to be an issue of just getting some guys off the roster for your 40-man. So I think some of these guys might be guys that they'll try to keep, but they're not going to offer arbitration to because they need their spots on the 40-man. I think Garcia and Law probably kind of fit in that, maybe even Aquino in that as well. Justin Dunn, I mean, I think, yeah, he's a no-brainer at 1.1, you know, just because he was part of that trade. I think you need to see more out of him. And then TJ Anton's obviously a no-brainer as well.
Yeah.
Any differences?
No, I agree with them all. I think, you know, Anton obviously was so good before his injury. So him and Sessa, however they recover, could really make quite the difference on the bullpen, especially the back end after, you know, what we just witnessed this year. So. Yeah, I feel like everything you have is accurate. I was going to say, just as a joke, but end of arbitration guys do often get traded the week after Reds Fest. So if you look at like all the guys that were traded in the Matt Latos trade, that was the week after Reds Fest. And if you look at Drew Stubbs was traded for Shin-Soo Choo the day after Reds Fest. So keep an eye out who you see there this year, guys, because that might be the last you see of them.
Well, Reds Fest is actually the day of the deadline. So the Friday is. So
you probably
would see it right before as we have the offseason calendar up here kind of giving you an idea. Yeah, so I would think you'll probably see some of that action before that, but it might be, there could be some like last minute right up to it. Yeah, I could see Nick Senzel getting traded. I could see Kyle Farmer getting traded.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I honestly, just about anyone on this list I could see getting traded. I mean, I could see Buck Farmer getting traded. I mean, you know, if someone wants to give something up substantial. But yeah, one other quick point. Yeah, I mean, the Reds could really easily, if they're blessed with some good health, remake and have a pretty darn good bullpen. If things pan out, I mean, with Diaz, Antone, Sims, Buck Farmer, Luis Sessa, I mean, and the Reds have some talented Aroldis players.
Aroldis Chapman's going to be cheap next year.
I think Aroldis Chapman's done. I think he's thrown his last pitch.
I think you're right.
But yeah, I got a question for you, Tim.
Okay.
This might be weird.
Oh boy.
If the Reds non-tendered Senzel, would that be like a positive sign for the Reds that like they're caring or whatever? Not take Senzel out of it, because that would obviously suck for him. But would Reds fans be happy about that?
I think so. I think Reds fans have just like given up on him, and it sucks. Like Carrick mentioned, you know, he has 3 years of control left, so anything can happen in those 3 years. There are some guys who are just late bloomers in sports. It happens all the time. So who knows, you know, but I think we are kind of at the point where you are, you know, he is who he is. And Billy Hamilton, non-tender the Friday of. That's right. Thank you, Alex. But I think that kind of maybe says like, look, we got it wrong. And that makes it really a really interesting dynamic. But also, I do agree with what Carrick's saying, like, who's he blocking from being on the major league roster?
He also still has options. He can be sent to AAA. So even if he is blocking someone, he can be sent down to AAA. So he's just basically costing and holding up a 40-man roster spot. He's not blocking anyone because, again, he could go down to AAA. So that's a whole nother dynamic. A lot of factors with Senzel out there. And that's an advantage, I guess, for him being kept. I would almost think, and I don't know, you would think he would want out, right? Like, you would think he'd be like, this dude needs a fresh start. But every interview I've heard, like the podcast he was on with Jim Day with India, sounds like he really wants to be here, unless he just is, you know, faking it on that. So you would think, like, convention was him, hey, give me a fresh start somewhere, right?
I would think so, especially the fact that Scott Boras is still his representative.
Yeah.
So that always plays a part in it, especially with him. And maybe he thinks like being the center fielder of the Giants is better for him for his future. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
It would be kind of fun to watch in San Francisco, actually, come to think of it.
Yeah.
He is still really athletic.
Yeah. What a disappointing season.
Such a heartbreak, man. Especially like he had that game where he like had six, he got on base six times and it was like, finally. And he had that stretch where it was like, oh wow, he's like hitting the ball and he's getting on base. And I'm like, it's here. This is what I've been saying all along, guys. This is great.
And he finally stayed healthy for him most of the year. I mean,
right.
Just, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. So if you're tuning along, and if you are, thanks for watching. We're kind of going, Nick's kind of shown right here. This is the offseason calendar, so you have an idea of start of November is the deadline to move players from the 60-day back to the active roster. And then decision on later on than the 6th of November, decisions for club player options and qualifying offers. The Reds have zero players with contract options, so that's a good spot for right now. And then November 20th, 40-man rosters have to be finalized in advance of the Rule 5 draft, and guys will not be protected if they are not selected. And then December 2nd, as Nick mentioned earlier, non-tender deadline, and winter meetings will be the 4th or the 11th, with the draft lottery on the 6th and the Rule 5 draft on the 11th. And I think we are planning, go a little behind the curtain here, we are planning on doing a little draft lottery reaction show. So add that day. So keep an eye out for that.
Live stream. Yeah.
Yeah.
Assuming they televise, yeah, we definitely got to have live reaction to that as it's happening. Yeah, for yeah. sure.
So that'll be a lot of fun. I'm excited for it. I know, obviously, what was it last week? You said they have the fourth best odds at the moment.
Yeah, fourth best odds, 13.5% chance of getting the number one pick. But no one has a better chance of 16. So they're really, they're still pretty close. So,
yeah.
Fingers crossed. I'm interested this offseason. It's going to be different for a lot of ways. First off, it's going to be the first real offseason since 2019-2020. So
yeah.
That's cool. The Reds is going to be much different than last because last year, obviously, the lockout. And then on top of that, the Reds had a bunch of players they wanted to trade. Reds don't really have any players of significant value that they want to trade. They're all gone at this point. So it's really going to be just the Reds trying to find the bargain diving, the bargain players. And with a full offseason to do it, interested to see maybe the Reds can come up with some more. You know, the Reds last year had to wait to make the move for Mike Minor, which didn't turn out well because they had to, with Nick Kroll, with the budget he was given, had to trade those guys before he could go pick up another pitcher. And I know at the beginning of last offseason, we talked, the Reds were in talks for Andrew Heaney, who had a really, really good year for the Dodgers. This year, without having, you know, kind of those stipulations, do the Reds maybe find some more? The Reds maybe find the next, like, Andrew Heaney success story. You know, they were able to hit with guys like Brandon Drury and Tommy Pham and Donovan Solano all played pretty well. So, a little bit more time, or they may be able to find a little bit more of those type of players and maybe even some pitching. That'll be kind of fascinating to watch. But yeah, it's going to be interesting offseason, whether you love it or hate it. There's going to be some action, especially when we get into the beginning of December. So stay tuned.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, I know normally we go much longer than this, but just kind of give a heads up, we're going to do a little bit shorter offseason episodes and kind of moving around the baseball playoffs right now, so it's a little funky, but this is the schedule for coming up for the offseason. So the 18th will be on Tuesday at 9 o'clock. The 27th of October will be at be that night, so that's on Thursday of that week, and then the week after that also on Thursday, November 3rd, and then the week after that Wednesday, November 9th, and all at 9 p.m. Eastern, like always. So if you want to keep up with us and keep up with everything, just go ahead and subscribe to the YouTube channel, like we said, and you'll continue to get updates from us through our socials, letting you know where we will be and when we'll be on. So promise after the playoffs, we go back to our normal schedule, as far as normal can be with everything we have going on. But please, as always, thank you guys for tuning in. We definitely appreciate the chat always being live and action and a lot of fun. You guys bring a great conversation. It means a ton to us with all the work we put in, especially the work Nick puts in. It means a ton. Please take a moment. Like we said, go to check out our good friends. We're the Brigas of the show, Bet Online. Use that promo code BELIEVE. Get that 100% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Pretty solid. And then 5-star review at the podcast subscriber of your choice. And of course, latenightreds.merchmake.com. Go get yourself some Late Night Reds merchandise like Jamie showed off on the show last week. It's really cool. It's high quality. You'll love wearing it at the gym or something. I don't know, wherever you want to wear it. But on behalf of Nick and I, Carlos should be back with us next week, depending on how far the Padres get. Take it easy, and we'll see you soon.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.